One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Some houses stand as silent witnesses to the tragedies that unfold within their walls. They hold on to sorrow, regret, and broken promises, refusing to let go of the past. In a small town in New Zealand, a house like this sits across from where a young boy named Sam once lived. To the curious, it appeared just another abandoned home, overgrown and forgotten. But to those who dared to step closer, it held something darker, an energy that had seeped into the very foundation. It started in 2004 with two boys, an adventure and a discovery they'd never forget. The house, old and empty, seemed like the perfect target for mischief. But when they found the lifeless body of a German Shepherd rotting in the garage, the game became a nightmare. Only a day later, the dog's body vanished, and the boys were left with questions that made the hairs on their necks stand up. Who or what was lurking in that house? Tonight, we explore the story of a man named Mr. Shepherd, a man whose heart was broken beyond repair. His story, filled with loss, betrayal, and an unbreakable connection to a house that wouldn't let him go, will leave you questioning what lies in the shadows of our memories and the homes that refuse to forget. Dear Tony, I never thought that a house, a simple old house, could leave such a lasting impact on my life. But here I am, writing to you about a place I thought I'd left behind. It all began in 2004, back when I was just a kid, spending every spare moment with my best friend, Sam. Sam lived in a quiet town, the kind where everyone knew everyone and life moved at its own easy pace. Across the street from Sam's house stood the abandoned home that always drew our attention. It looked haunted even then, with its overgrown yard and cracked windows, like something out of a ghost story. And in a way, it was. One summer afternoon, Sam got a wild idea. We joked for months about how the house had to be haunted, but that day, he decided we should find out for ourselves. Curiosity got the best of us, and we made our way around to the back. There were too many watchful neighbors to try the front, so we figured the garage might be our best bet. That's when we found the hole in the wall. We squeezed through, our hearts pounding with the thrill of adventure, until we smelled it. The air inside was thick with the stench of death. In the corner of the garage lay the decomposing body of a German Shepherd. I can still see it in my mind, stiff, bloated, its fur matted with grime. The sight of it made my stomach lurch, and the smell was so overpowering, we almost retched. Right there. We assumed it was the work of one of the local kids, someone with a cruel streak and too much time on their hands. We bolted back to Sam's house, shaken but determined to figure out how to get inside the main house next time. That night, in true kid fashion, we tried to teach ourselves how to pick locks. We had no idea what we were doing, but that didn't matter. The idea of sneaking into a haunted house was too exciting to pass up. So bright and early the next morning, we marched back. Our attempts at lockpicking were laughable, but we didn't care. We were kids on a mission. With no luck getting inside, we decided to check on the dog one last time. When we got to the garage, the dog was gone. Not just the body, but every trace of it, the smell, the flies, the maggots, gone, as if it had never been there in the first place. We stared at each other, wide-eyed, and then it happened. A loud bump echoed from somewhere in the garage, a sound so sudden and violent that it sent us running faster than we ever had before. We tore down the driveway, not daring to look back, our legs pumping as if our lives depended on it. Sam's mom saw us sprinting away and met us at the door, her eyes narrowing in that way only mothers can. She told us we had no business being in that house, and for two reasons. The first, she said, was simple. It wasn't our property. The second reason made my skin crawl. Because it's haunted, she added, her voice low and serious. Sam's mom has always been a spiritual person, more in tune with the world beyond than most. She sat us down and told us the story of the man who had lived there, a man we'll call Mr. Shepherd. His life, she explained, was one of heartbreak after heartbreak. His daughter, the light of his life, had suffered a tragedy that left her broken. When she passed away, Mr. Shepherd and his wife were left to raise their granddaughter. But grief doesn't strike gently, and soon after, his wife suffered a stroke in that very house. She died where she stood, leaving her shoes abandoned near the door, a detail that made the story feel all too real. As Sam's mom spoke, I listened, captivated and horrified. Mr. Shepherd had lost everything, and the one thing keeping him going was his granddaughter. When she grew up and moved to the UK with her boyfriend, he tried to stay strong. He even got a German Shepherd to keep him company, a dog that spent its days lying in the garage. But then, like everything else in his life, the dog died. His heart, already so damaged, had little left to give. And when his granddaughter called to say she was never coming back, that she wanted nothing to do with him, he finally broke. Mr. Shepherd had a heart attack while washing dishes, and his spirit never seemed to leave the house he loved so much. Hearing this, I felt a deep sadness for Mr. Shepherd, and Sam and I promised each other we wouldn't disturb his rest anymore. The haunted house was no longer a place of excitement, but a place of grief, and we wanted nothing to do with it. But time passes, and promises made as kids are easily forgotten. Years went by, and I moved on to a different school. I didn't see Sam much after that, until 7 years later. By then I was 17, with a car and a sense of independence I'd only dreamed of. One day, Sam and I reconnected, and the memories of our adventures came flooding back. We decided to revisit the house, maybe as a way to reclaim our childhood or to put the ghosts of our past to rest. When we pulled up to the property, it looked exactly as we remembered, frozen in time. This time, I had better lockpicking skills, so we made our way to the back door. To our surprise, it was already broken open. Someone else must have tried to get in over the years, but hadn't made it far. We stepped inside, and that's when we saw them. Mrs. Shepherd's shoes, sitting right by the door, untouched for all those years. A chill ran down my spine, and I could feel the weight of Sam's eyes on me. Everything in the house was exactly where it had been, as if Mr. Shepherd were still there waiting. The toilet door stood open, the remote lay on the coffee table, and every detail seemed to whisper that we didn't belong. I wish I could explain the feeling that washed over me in that moment, Tony. It was as if the house itself had eyes, watching our every move, breathing down our necks. Sam and I barely exchanged words. We didn't need to. The tension was thick, and every creak of the old wooden floor seemed amplified, echoing in the suffocating silence of a house frozen in time. We stood there, taking in the bizarre normalcy of the scene, the remote on the coffee table, the bedroom door left ajar, the open bathroom, all unchanged, all eerily undisturbed. That feeling of being watched never left us. It wrapped itself around me, a weight I couldn't shake. The air felt thick, heavy, as if the house itself was drawing breath. I could almost feel Mr. Shepherd's presence, his grief, his longing, still tethered to the place that had once been his world. I don't know how long we stood there, silent and still, but eventually we had to keep moving. Something, or perhaps some instinct, told us we weren't welcome. We stepped cautiously down the hallway, our feet muffled on the dusty carpet. I felt a sense of dread with every door we passed, like we were disturbing something that wanted desperately to be left alone. When we reached the kitchen, I couldn't help but picture Mr. Shepherd there, in his final moments, clutching his chest as the life drained from him. A cold shiver ran through me, and I had to fight the urge to turn and run. Then we heard it, a faint rustling sound coming from one of the back rooms. We both froze, eyes wide, and I could see the fear mirrored in Sam's face. It wasn't the wind or the creaking of old wood. It sounded deliberate, like someone moving through the house, and it made my blood run cold. We had disturbed something, and whatever it wasn't happy. I reached for Sam's arm, my grip tightening as we listened, holding our breath. Sam whispered, "We need to leave. Now." I couldn't have agreed more. The oppressive feeling was becoming unbearable, and I felt as if the house itself was about to close in on us. We turned to make our way back the way we came, but with every step, the unease grew. It was as if the air itself resisted us, slowing us down, trying to keep us there. We finally reached the back door, our hearts pounding in our chests, and stumbled outside, gulping in the fresh air as if we'd just surfaced from underwater. The relief was immediate, but the feeling of being watched never really left. We climbed into my car, and as I started the engine, I couldn't help but glance back at the house. It stood there, silent and still, yet somehow brimming with the life of its past. Over the next few weeks, I couldn't shake what we'd experienced. The encounter lingered, clinging to me like a shadow. Sam and I talked about it constantly, dissecting every moment, trying to make sense of the overwhelming emotions we'd felt. We both knew it was more than just our imaginations running wild. There was something real, something deeply sad and unrelenting about that house. I became obsessed with Mr. Shepherd's story. The more I thought about it, the more I wondered about his granddaughter. What could have driven her to sever ties with the only family she had left? Was she still alive, still carrying the weight of her decisions, or had she, too, succumbed to the sadness that seemed to curse their family? I wanted answers. I needed to know if there was any hope or redemption left in a story so filled with heartbreak. So here I am, Tony, telling you this story, hoping that maybe someone out there knows more. I'm not sure I'll ever have the courage to go back inside that house, but a part of me feels like the story isn't over. Maybe Mr. Shepherd's spirit will never rest until the pieces are put back together. Maybe the ghosts we leave behind are simply the echoes of love and loss, refusing to let go. For now, I'll keep searching. And if I ever find out what became of his granddaughter, you'll be the first to know. Sincerely, Jake. Hey, there's something about old abandoned houses that seem to reach across time, trapping memories within their walls. Jake and Sam's experience at Mr. Shepherd's house is one that shakes our sense of comfort, leaving us to wonder, how much pain can a home hold before it becomes a living, breathing entity carrying the grief of those who once lived there? Psychologically, we can try to explain what Jake and Sam felt as they stood in that living room, the sensation of being watched or the oppressive heaviness in the air. Perhaps it's the power of suggestion, the way our minds play tricks when we're aware of a place's tragic history. We know that grief leaves scars not only on the people it touches, but on the spaces where life once flourished. The brain, conditioned to recognize patterns and threats, could easily transform a creaking floorboard or an old, forgotten shoe into something sinister. But how do we explain the deeper mysteries? The vanishing dog in the garage, the uncanny truth of Sam's mom's story, or the door that held them back for years, as if trying to protect the house's secrets? These are the moments that defy logic, that make us wonder if there's more to life and death than we can ever truly understand. Was Mr. Shepherd still there, tied to a home filled with love, loss, and memories of the life he tried so desperately to keep together? Then there's the question of unfinished business. Mr. Shepherd's heartbreak centered around his granddaughter, the last connection he had to a world that had taken everything else from him. Could that bond, broken and unresolved, be the force keeping his spirit tethered to the old house? And if so, what would it take to finally bring him peace? These are the questions that haunt us, that make us wonder what truly lingers in the places we leave behind. Thank you for sharing your story, Jake. And for everyone listening, the next time you pass an old, abandoned house, maybe think twice before you label it just a creepy relic. It might be a monument to a love that couldn't let go or to a heartbreak that never healed. Do you believe in haunted houses, or are they simply echoes of our own fears? As always, it's up to you to decide.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.